Tonight we are continuing our study of the book of Philemon, and we are picking up in verse 4, and we are going to consider verses 4 through 7. And this is what it says: I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for a full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. The book of Philemon gets its title from the man to whom it is addressed. This is a letter from Paul in prison over in Rome to Philemon in the city of Colossae. The church at Colossae met in his house. Philemon must have been a fairly well-to-do man and a generous man in order to have a house big enough for the church to meet in. And he also owned slaves, or at least one slave. Onesimus was his slave. All we know about Philemon is what we can glean from this letter and the letter to the Colossians. We learn in this letter that he was a convert of the Apostle Paul, but we do not know how his conversion took place. What I think happened is that Philemon was down at Ephesus when Paul was preaching there for 3 years on his third missionary journey, with Epaphras and possibly his slave, Onesimus. Epaphras was converted to Christ. Philemon was converted to Christ. They returned to Colossae, and Epaphras started churches at Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis, three cities not too far apart in the Lycus River Valley. The church at Colossae met at Philemon's house. Later on, Onesimus, his slave, stole some money from Philemon and ran away from Philemon and fled to Rome. Why did he go to Rome? He went to Rome because he could get lost in the crowd in that large city. He wanted secrecy. He wanted anonymity. The Apostle Paul, by this time, was in prison in Rome with some amount of freedom. He could receive visitors, and he had companions. In the providence of God, Onesimus came into contact with the Apostle Paul and got converted to Christ. How did that happen? He became a Christian. How did it happen? It's all speculation, but maybe Onesimus had met the Apostle Paul years before when he accompanied his master, Philemon, to Ephesus. If not that, then surely he had heard about the Apostle Paul from being around the household of Philemon at Colossae, where the church met there in his house. It could be that when he got to Rome, he came to his senses, like the prodigal son, away in the far country, and sought out the Apostle Paul. He went to the Apostle Paul, and Paul introduced him to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was converted. He became a new man in Christ. He became one of Paul's companions at Rome, assisting him in prison. Epaphras was also there from Colossae, having come to see Paul with some concerns about the church. Maybe Epaphras was the one who introduced Onesimus to Paul. Maybe Epaphras ran into Onesimus on the street in Rome and brought him to Paul. Now, after proving the genuineness of his conversion to Christ and assisting Paul in prison in Rome, Paul is sending him back to Colossae with Tychicus, who is carrying the letter to the Colossians and this letter to Philemon and probably the letter to the Ephesians as well, to be dropped off at Ephesus on the way. The theme of the book of Philemon is forgiveness. The purpose of Paul writing this personal letter to Philemon was to appeal to him and persuade him to forgive Onesimus, this runaway slave who got converted and is being sent back because it was the right thing to do. So it is a book with a message about forgiveness. And that is a message that we need to hear. In this passage that we are looking at tonight, Paul is commending Philemon, highlighting some qualities in him, and praying for him. Why do you think he did that? Those qualities and that prayer form the basis of his appeal to Philemon to forgive Onesimus. The qualities that he underscores are qualities that are found in Christians. These are some qualities that equip us to forgive. What are they? The first one is faith. Verse 5 says, "Because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints." First of all, we need to understand what this verse is saying. Because of the order of the words in that sentence, it appears to the English readers that love and faith belong to both the Lord Jesus and all the saints. Most commentators will tell you that that is a chiastic sentence structure, which is not uncommon in Greek. What that means is that faith goes with the Lord Jesus and love goes with all the saints. The translators of the New International Version rearrange the words for us so that it reads in the New International Version like this: "Because I hear about your love for all His holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus." That is the way the sentence is to be understood. Faith goes with Lord Jesus and love goes with all the saints. This is what Paul is saying about Philemon: that he has faith toward the Lord Jesus. Now, how does that equip Philemon to forgive? And how does it equip anyone to forgive who has faith toward the Lord Jesus? Faith expresses the heart of Christianity. We are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus. Justified means that we have a right standing with God. We, who were once enemies with God, have been reconciled to God through faith in the Lord Jesus. All of the work was done by Him, and all we have to do is receive it by faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, if we who were immeasurably unworthy to be forgiven and reconciled to God have been forgiven and reconciled by faith, then it puts us in a position to forgive other people. You see, we are those for whom much has been forgiven, and we can forgive much. Paul wrote in Ephesians 4:32 and Colossians 3:13 that we are to forgive one another because God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Jesus told a parable in Matthew 18 to illustrate how we ought to forgive others. It was in response to a question from Peter about how many times we should forgive our brother if he sins against us. And Jesus told this parable: "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, with his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. The point of the parable is that we as Christians have been forgiven much, much more than anyone else could ever owe us. And therefore, we should forgive others. The second quality is love. Love. Verse 5 says, "Because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints." Again, this is what Paul is saying about Philemon, that he not only has faith toward the Lord Jesus, but he has love for all the saints. Love for all the saints is actually a consequence of faith in the Lord Jesus. 1 John 3:14 says, "We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers." Passing out of death into life is conversion. John is saying that love for the brothers, that is fellow Christians, is evidence that you have been converted. It is evidence that you are a Christian. One of the criticisms that is often justifiably leveled against us as Christians is that we don't show much love. We profess to be Christians, but we don't show much love. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another." And 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." In other words, love is sacrificial. Love is humble. Love is considerate of others. Love does not parade around high-minded with a condescending attitude toward other people. Love is a matter of choice, not emotion. It does what is best for the unlovely out of obedience to God. We Christians have the capacity to do that. It is the power of God at work in us. Paul said that he was hearing of Philemon's love for the saints. And furthermore, according to verse 7, he had derived much joy and comfort from Philemon's love because the hearts of the saints had been refreshed through him. Now, we do not know exactly how Philemon showed love to others. We do not know how the hearts of the saints had been refreshed through him. But now Paul was expecting him to show that love toward Onesimus, who had become a saint. The third quality is fellowship. Verse 6 says, "And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ." You may be wondering where I got the word fellowship out of that verse. That word that is translated sharing in my English Standard Version, communication in the King James Version, and partnership in the New International Version, is the word koinonia, which is usually translated fellowship. And that is the way it is translated in the New American Standard Bible in this verse. Fellowship of your faith. But what does it mean? It has something to do with living out your faith in the community of the saints, in the body of Christ. It means something like, I pray that as you live out your faith within the community of the saints, in your local church, that you will come to know experientially every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. He is praying for him to experience a very close, intimate relationship to Christ by living out his faith. What Paul had in mind was that Philemon would use the knowledge gained in living out his faith to work out the implications of his faith in the matter of Onesimus. He wanted Philemon to forgive this erring and repentant brother. The fact that he uses the term fellowship of faith adds another dimension to what it is that equips us to forgive. It is the dimension of faith being worked out in a community of believers. Other believers in the church are observing the practical working out of your faith, and there is some accountability associated with that. The rest of the church is influenced by how you live out your faith. You can be an influence in the church for good, or you can bring disrepute upon the church. We ought to care about that. We ought to care about how we represent our church in the community. In this matter of dealing with Onesimus, the fellowship of the faith was important. So we ask the question, how does the Christian faith equip you to forgive? The Christian faith equips you to forgive by putting you in a position to forgive others because you have been forgiven much by God. The Christian faith equips you to forgive by giving you the capacity to love as a consequence of your conversion to Christ. The Christian faith equips you to forgive by the implications of living it out in a community of other believers, a local church where there is mutual love, mutual concern, and encouragement. So my prayer for you tonight is what Paul prayed for Philemon, that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Let's pray.